Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Happy 2017. We have come into February and it is our vision month. I think for me, I have this sense of peace that the vision, that clear mental picture of our preferred future, believe that we have that clear in terms of the bigger picture. So what we're presenting over this month, and in part this morning is a foundation for this month in terms of being Vision Month, kind of is a bit, it's not about casting new vision, it's about, I guess, presenting to you what we believe is the next step in us to see the fulfillment of the vision that God has given us, if that makes sense. So I think we should be clear about what God is calling us to and to become. And I believe as a church, we're clear on that. If you don't have a copy, and I know documents can be ho-hum and whatnot, but believe that within the vision document itself, there is it expresses, I guess, tries to paint a picture of who and what God is calling us to be as a church. If you don't have a copy of that, more than happy to make one available to you and email you a copy of that. And if you do have a copy, just encourage you maybe just to have a read over it throughout this month as we go through Vision Month to consider the next steps that God is actually calling us to action. I believe I don't want to be a church that presents, you know, 10 fantastic things we're going to do this year and we do three of them poorly and we're not a church of action. We want to be a church of action that would rather let our actions speak louder than words. And so this message this morning is a foundation. And I, to be honest, actually found it difficult to prepare this because it's a very big personal challenge to me. It's one of those messages and I think that some people can go, well, you know, this is just one of those prosperity kind of messages and the stereotypical stuff, and if you're around us for long enough, you would know that's very much not our heart or where we're coming from. And I think that as I was reflecting on us as a church, I think we have so many people in the life of our church that are very comfortable with the whole idea of giving and supporting others, whether it's cooking meals, visiting, being there, being an encouragement, being a support, the phone call, the emails, etc. When other people are going through hardship or difficult times, we're very good at that support and love and the giving part. But my experience with a lot of you, and this is a compliment, is that you're very hesitant to actually receive. And I put myself in that category. You go, well, isn't that how it's meant to be? Well, yes and no. No and yes. Whichever way you want to look at it. And I hope this morning's message will explain what yes and no means. You know, for me, I love how with God there is integrity with who he is and with what he does. And when I say that, I think that I mean that we have a God who is consistent. There's consistency between what he says he will do and what he does. He is incredibly consistent. He is true to his word. There's integrity in who God is and what he does. He's reliable. Now, it's not a good example because it's not the freshest example you'll ever see, but I'm sure you can see what that is. Now, let me ask you, if I peel this open, what am I going to find? Oh, we have such a smart church. I'm so proud right now. And that one, kiwi fruit. If I cut that open, what am I going to get? Okay, and the last one, the passion fruit. Thank you, the McKinnons illustration. Passion fruit, if I cut that, I mean, when I cut this bad boy open, it is a bad boy, when I cut that open, I'm not going to find watermelon inside of it. There's integrity in what God has created. There's integrity in what God says. There's an integrity in who God is. Psalm 18 verse 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. His way is perfect. There's no fault in God's way and in God's ways. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. So when God declares a way, a principle, a standard for living, operating procedure, if you like, when God presents that to us, we've got to have the confidence and the belief that it works, that it's reliable, that it's consistent. And if I hold to it, it's going to produce the outcome that God says it will. Does that make sense? And sometimes we struggle with that, particularly in this area. I mean, A.W. Tozer said this, I love this quote, with the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, with the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, What do we lack? If I'm saying there's consistency and integrity in who God is and what he does, and his ways are perfect, and if he's instituted a way for us to live that produces an outcome which is to our and our community and the world's benefit, if he's got all of that and he's got the power to follow through on that, what do we lack? I think sometimes we lack or miss out on the outcome because of a misunderstanding. We don't seek out understanding. And we have some kind of choice whether we're going to consciously or somehow unconsciously maybe think that it doesn't relate to me. That can be some of the reasons of why we lack the outcomes that God has promised through his principles. And I believe this to be true in this principle of sowing and reaping. I think we can fall into that. I mean, we hear in different ways, shapes and forms how this idea of sowing and reaping is expressed. We say to people, do unto others as cause and effect. Every action has an equal and opposite. All the physics students in the house, well done. What you sow is what goes around. Life is like this. What you put into it is. Okay, so we all know that. We all know that. But how much of the understanding of the principle of sowing and reaping do we have? And as I've said, some of us in the room, the majority from my experience of our church, is that we're more comfortable with that idea of the sowing part. I mean, in Acts 20, we're told, Jesus' own words were, it's better to give than to receive. Did he say that we shouldn't receive? He just says it's better to give. And yet, he says that we should receive. We're happy to help. We're happy to put time and effort and energy and resources. And sometimes I think we are a little bit reluctant or hesitant to be on the receiving end. Or maybe in some senses, we're totally okay with the negative of what I'm talking about, the sowing and reaping. In terms of if somebody does something wrong, we all agree they should get what they deserve. If they've sown negatively, then they should reap negatively. And the measure to which they've sown negatively, well, the punishment should be according. And we all get up in arms when the punishment doesn't fit the crime. So negatively, we're happy to jump on board the sowing and reaping. But when it comes to the positive, how comfortable are we with that? And I'm telling you this morning, I am so uncomfortable preaching this message. I'm like many of you and us in this room that I'm much more comfortable with the idea of the sowing part of it. And yet we do also live in a society where there's a sense of entitlement, which is different. It's a different heart. It's a different attitude to sowing and reaping from a biblical perspective. But there's this sense of entitlement. You know, some people go, well, if I work hard, I get the job done, get it done early. If I do a great job, if I exceed my targets, if I increase turnover and productivity and I contribute to the bottom line and profits are great, then therefore I deserve that. I deserve that. I'm not against hard work. I'm not saying that. But I think that this thinking captures an appropriate return on the investment that I've made in a given thing. There needs to be an appropriate return. But yet when we talk about sowing and reaping from a biblical perspective, when God talks about us sowing with the right heart attitude and the right perspective and a willing spirit, that the return far exceeds our investment. So it's not entitlement. I'm not talking about that. But sometimes there's this attitude with people, well, I deserve that. I'm not talking about that this morning. And some people are more comfortable. So what does the Bible say about this whole idea of sowing and reaping? I think most of the Bible was written in the context of a society that was immersed in agriculture. So from that farming perspective and managing livestock and working the land and raising crops and harvesting and things like that. So when Jesus was teaching, it had a great significance. How many of us here have actually worked on a farm or any kind of farm that required toil and things? Anyone kind of just go out and visit a farm and has a bit of a vague idea of how a farm sort of, I'm not talking about the actual opera, but you've done some work on a farm. I mean, I was dragged by my dad during school holidays. We had to go out and we had to kind of like help during shearing season. Dad was an old shearer, and so any chance he got, he'd go out on farms, and we would go out and Dad would try to teach us all about, you know, crops and wheat and barley and different things and sheep who are so dumb and just, you know, just so frustrating. But, you know, so I'm not saying I have an idea, but when I start to read and look at what Jesus was trying to communicate, some of it does resonate with me. So Jesus is communicating in a manner and a form, metaphorically speaking, in painting the picture about what a kingdom principle, a spiritual principle is. So what does the Bible say about sowing and reaping? Well, it's a law that God instituted in the natural world. On the third day of creation, we see in Genesis chapter 1 that God creates plants and he commanded them to bring forth living plants bearing seed and fruit with seed in it. And these plants were given to mankind for food, for us. And so ever since the beginning of time, man has understood the process of sowing and reaping and has certainly benefited from that. So it's a law of the natural world that God's put in place. We know that. Secondly, God uses the law of sowing and reaping to bestow his blessing. It's a concept that God instituted with particularly the children of Israel. And we know that God actually bestows blessing. We see in Matthew chapter 5 that God bestows blessing on the just and the unjust. So it's a way that God generally interacts with humanity, is that he is actually sending blessing upon mankind, but in some cases his blessing comes more specifically to those of his choosing. And in Genesis chapter 26 we see Isaac sowed a crop, but he reaped 100-fold in one session because God targeted him. And we see that Isaac's gratefulness for God's yearly blessing was expressed through the Feast of First Fruits. So he was thankful for God's blessing on his life. It's a principle that God uses in terms of when you sow, there is a reaping that comes out of that sowing that God actually bestows upon his people. Number three, sowing and reaping is also a law of the spiritual world. As I said, it's a type, it's a symbolism of what actually takes place in the natural world is likened to the spiritual world. It's more than just an agricultural principle, if I can put it that way. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." And so there are natural consequences to our actions. The decisions and the choices and what we choose to sow our time and life into, there's going to be a product from that. There's going to be a result from that. So just as there are natural implications, but also there are spiritual implications, which we'll start to go into. Number four. Sowing and reaping implies something that we all love, waiting. We love the wait. We love the wait. I mean, I have no idea, and I probably should have found out how long it takes for, you know, a wheat seed to be in the ground to germinate and to pop up and to start to grow to eventually bear fruit. But it would imply that nothing grows overnight, that there is a process of time and that we must be patient with that process of time. And the Bible talks about ministry being like, and when we share the God story with people around us, that there is a season of sowing those seeds, and then there's a season of watering those seeds and nurturing those seeds. And we've all probably got people in our lives where we've shared a little bit of the gospel with, or a little bit of our story, God's story with them. And then there's another time when we kind of get to add to that, and we're just layering layers and adding to that as time goes by, and we're watering to that. And then there's that time that we believe and are hoping for, is that there's that time of harvesting, there's that time of reaping. And we know that all of this is in God's good time, but it implies that there's a wait, and we are called to faithfully labor. Number five, we reap in kind to what we sow. We reap in kind to what we sow. If I sow apple seeds, I expect an apple tree. If I sow weeds, I can't expect roses. And the same holds true spiritually, what we choose to sow into. And Mark chapter 4 gives us that wonderful story about sowing and seed falling on different kinds of ground. But ultimately, when the seed falls on good soil, it reaps a harvest of sometimes 160 or 30-fold. And the question is, what kind of soil is our lives personally, and also what kind of soil are we sowing into? Our heart's belief is that Compass Church is good soil. that our community of believers, you coming here, that good things are being deposited into your hearts because you're good soil, so that when God's word is preached and when God moves and God does stuff, that your heart is open to receive that, and that those seeds are deposited and planted into your life that can grow and flourish and produce fruit. But we reap in kind to what we sow. Galatians 6 verse 8 says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And so this principle works both positively and negatively in the spiritual sense. I've just expressed the natural in terms of apples and weeds, but it says in Proverbs chapter 11, the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. And later in Proverbs chapter 22 verse 8, it says, whoever sows injustice reaps calamity. So spiritually, there is this principle, what we sow is what we're going to reap. Number six, and there's only two more to go. We reap proportionally to what we sow. We reap proportionally to what we sow. I mean, this is rocket science. Because let me just let you in on the secret. The more seed you sow, the more you're going to reap. Go home. It's over. That's all you need to know. The more you sow, the more you will reap. You know, the Bible actually applies this law to the area of giving. 2 Corinthians 9 says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And yet, it's very clear that this passage is not tied to the amount, it's tied to the heart attitude behind the amount. And so it's so important around our heart's motivation in that. The last one, and I've alluded to this, but we reap more than what we sow. I mean, that's just the amazing God we've got. That we reap more than what we truly deserve. It's an expression, it's an example of God's grace. Us receiving what we don't deserve. His unmerited favor and kindness to us. That God goes, you know what, if you trust me, if you're obedient, if you apply my word to your life, if you follow that and you're willing to wait and you hang in there and you hold on and you're diligent in that and you're consistent in that, when you reap, you'll reap far more than what you gain. So when we come to Jesus and he says, I want you to lay down your life and give your life to me, in our natural materialistic thinking, we think, oh, so I've got to give everything up. Yes. Yes, we do. Because when we lay everything down, we actually receive so much more. Because a seed needs to fall to the ground and appear to die before new life can come. So when we truly die to ourselves and we commit our lives to Christ and we put our faith and our hope and our trust in him, God goes, well, I can use that. I can take that and I can multiply it beyond what it can actually do on its own. So we reap more than what we sow. As I said in Matthew chapter, it's alluded to in Mark chapter 4, but in Matthew 13 it says, Jesus spoke of a seed that brought forth 160 or 30 times what was sown. One grain of wheat produces a whole head of grain that then can be sown again and multiplied yet again. You see, I believe we have a God who's interested in multiplication in our lives. So that's what the Bible says about sowing and reaping. And the reason why I've just touched on that briefly is that I believe for us as a church, and I've wrestled with this for probably about 3 months to be honest, is that I believe that God's calling us into the start of a prolonged season of reaping. And I know that some of us sit there and we might roll our eyes and just go, oh, here we go. Let me tell you what reaping is not. So we're just clear. Reaping does not mean we stop sowing. Because what we're going to reap this year, and for those of you that have been part of Compass for 1 or 2 years, you're going to be a part of reaping what people have sown for the last 9 years. So go you. Good timing by you. Wherever you've come from, it's going to be a beautiful thing. But the thing is, we have a responsibility to be sowing now for the future. And so I believe that our kids, our grommets, need to step off our shoulders and go to a stratosphere that we never reach. that we set the platform, we set things up for the future generation to do things far better than we ever could. So we can't afford to be lazy now. Yes, we will reap. We'll move into a season of reaping unprecedented in the life of this church that will be ongoing because what has been sown. I am talking about a biblical principle this morning. We're happy with the sowing. Put your hand up if you're happy with the sowing and the giving and the caring of others and that sort of thing. If you're not, maybe I read our church wrong. Bring on the reaping. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're happy with the reaping part of it. In fact, maybe I will. But it's a biblical principle, church. Like, I'm comfortable with the sowing, but we've got to get comfortable with the reaping. Because the reaping is not just for our benefit. So reaping does not mean we stop sowing, and reaping does not mean it's just only financial. If you're sitting here and you're just talking about sowing and reaping purely in the realm of finances, you're missing so much of the blessing of God that He has for your life in the realm of reaping. In your relationships, in your friendships, in your health, in your work environment, in the way that you see life, in the way that you experience life, in every facet and realm of life. When Obed-Edom had to have the presence of God in the form of the ark on his property, when it was put there, it says that every area of his life was blessed. Every area. His relationship with his wife, with his kids, with the neighbors, in transactions, in business, in the way his crops grew. All of that, every area of his life, the health of those and his servants and staff and everything like that. It was all blessed, all encompassing. The blessing of God is all encompassing. And so when we talk about reaping, we are not just talking about finances. For me, when I think about reaping, if I had to be honest, I think about reaping a harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. You know, for me, I don't even think about finance. Why? Because money does not concern me. Am I not conscious and aware and we're wise stewards and we're diligent? Absolutely. But when it's God's mission, it's His provision. When it's God's vision, it's His provision. He's going to provide us with everything that we need. It's already done. And it's just a matter of us of actually sometimes accepting and going, you know what? Yes, God has instituted a principle that works. And it's time for us to start to lean on the Word of God to go, it's time for us as a church, for you as families, been praying for some of you to see breakthrough in stuff that you have sown for years into, and you haven't seen reaping in. I believe this year you're going to start to see breakthrough in those things. I just have this sense in my spirit for us as a church, whether that's in relationships, whether that's in a broken relationship that's happened or a relationship that hasn't happened yet in the area of work, in the area of breakthrough, in your health, whatever it is, in different areas of people's lives, that people will either stand and testify or give report this year, something started to shift in my life. If you have sown faithfully for years and you haven't seen the breakthrough, you haven't seen the reaping yet, take it to the Lord and say, God, this is my year. 2017 is the start of my year for me, for my family, that we're going to start to reap according to what your word says to sow. Take it up with God. If you don't like what I'm saying, go to the Bible and take it up with God. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm happy to have a conversation with you about it, but we've got to learn if this is a principle that works. If God has said this is what we're supposed to live our life by, there's a season for sowing, there's got to be a season for reaping. Who thinks it's time that we as a church reaped? That's not enough hands, seriously. For the love of God, seriously. Put your hand up if you think it's time for us as a church to reap. This is not just financial. It's not. I'm so excited to go, you know, if we can just grab a hold of this and dare to believe where faith is that conduit for the power of God and the blessing and the provision of God to flow into our lives. If we just have the faith of a mustard seed to go, you know what? I'm going to actually dare to believe that this is true. I'm going to take God at His word. Just, that's all I'm asking you to do. Take God at His word. And to go, God, we have sown. We have sown. It's time to reap. It's time for you to reap. I'm speaking that into your life today, whether you want to hear it or not. I'm going to speak it into and over your life. It's time for you to reap. And this is so uncomfortable for me to preach like this, because it's so not about a prosperity doctrine. It's not about blab it and grab it and confess it and possess it and blah, all the cliche little things that I could say. It's not about, I'm just going to the Word of God and saying we have sown. And I thank God for men, women, and even some of the kids and my daughters who, you know, helped us pack up at Glen Ira and set up at Glen Ira College. And we have sown for years and years. And maybe it's because of my unbelief that we haven't reaped as much as maybe we should have. What if God goes, Phil, I've actually got this truckload of blessings stored up, and it's your unbelief that you haven't been willing to receive those blessings that have stopped it. And I take responsibility for that, but I'm not allowing any of that thinking to stand in the way of what I believe God's got for our present and our future. I'm just telling you where I'm at with it. I am taking God at His word. We've got so many people in the life of our church that have worked so incredibly hard and served faithfully. And they don't want anything out of it. They don't want any acknowledgement and recognition. I believe our hearts are right. So therefore, I just go, there's a principle in your word, Lord, that we are going to hold on to and we're going to stand on. And we're going to say, we have sown, it's time to reap. You know, sometimes when I preach, I'm actually speaking into the heavenly spiritual realms. I'm actually releasing something in the spiritual so it can materialize in the natural. We have the authority to bind those things in the spirit so they're bound in the natural, release things in the spirit so they're released in the natural. And what we're doing here this morning is setting the platform for this year for what God's plan and purpose is for us as a church to be released in its fullness. I just go, that sounds a bit weird. Again, take it up with the Word of God. It's understanding our authority in the Word of God. I'm just like speaking out this morning, that which is not as if it were. I mean, I see resource flowing into people's homes and stuff. I see you seeing breakthroughs and seeing harvests of souls because you've sown into people's lives for years. I see you seeing people committing their lives to Christ. I see you kind of praying with people that were so close to the God thing. And for whatever reason, it's a time for reaping in that. You've sown, you've watered. It's time for you to start reaping in those relationships to the glory of God. Because what we've experienced here this morning, and I love it and I thank God for it, but how many people around about us in this city need it? And we've just got to get it out there. This year's it's a start of a season of reaping. So uncomfortable. It's great. Love being uncomfortable. I don't know, is it just me or is it hot in here? I'm just kind of... I who loves it when somebody else gets blessed? Okay, all you selfish people. Why couldn't it be me? Let me just say this, though. Sometimes we're going to see that this year and in the years to come. We're going to see people get blessed. And you're going to go, why isn't it me? The proportion by which you sow is the proportion by which you will reap. There are people in this room that have sowed in tears and they've sown in hours on their knees crying out to God. There are people that have served faithfully week in. They don't miss a Sunday. They're here every week just loving and serving one another and serving whoever walks through the door. And I believe those people are going to be blessed. And it's like, well, why does that happen to them? Take a look at what they've sown. Or some of us go, well, I you know what? I've sown, but I want... That's harsh, but it's the reality of the principle. Nat and I have sown our lives into. We've constantly said, and we're gonna. There's a couple of things I wanted to share this morning. If I can just get personal for maybe 5 minutes, and I'm gonna get actually, if we can turn the recording off, that would be greatly appreciated right now.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.